Generally, two times a year, the people talk about the topic of turkey. Usually one is around now, right before Thanksgiving. And the other time people talk about it is in Parsha Shemini. That's where the Torah talks about the various birds we're allowed to eat. That's the two times a year when people have this conversation about whether or not turkey is kosher. So the today's share, we'd like to discuss some of the kashrus issues that takes us to the history of eating turkey. And not only turkey, but we'll talk about some other birds also that came into discussion over the years about its kashrus. We know that when it comes to animals, or when it comes to fish, the Torah is very clear about what you need to make it kosher. Animals, we know, the Torah lays out very clearly what the rules are to make an animal kosher. For fish, the Torah is very clear what the rules are. Fins and scales, chews its cud. We know clearly what the rules are when it comes to eating those animals. When it comes to birds, the Torah did something very different. The Torah didn't tell you any ways of knowing what is kosher, what's not kosher. What the Torah did is, if you look at Parashat Shemini, the Torah writes that there's 24 families of birds, and the Torah lists them all by name. And the Torah says, these you can't eat. So the Gemara sounds like, in Rishayim, they make this comment, that once you can know for sure that a bird is not of the 24 families, at that point you'd be allowed to eat a bird without anything. Because if it's not the ones that the Torah prohibited, then automatically it's permitted. But by birds, the Torah did something very different. It didn't give you a rule system. It basically said, these you can't eat, that everything else you could eat. Whatever the Torah didn't exclude is automatically included. So if we can figure out, through our knowledge of birds, of what is the family that the Torah did prohibit, we will then be able to figure out all the birds that are permitted. However, Chazal did us a huge favor, and they gave us a better system than just that. Because if that would be the system, it would be very hard for us to eat any birds today. Do we know for sure which family, which sub-family it's from? So the Mishnah tells us in Chulin over here, in Nun Test, the Mishnah says like this: Simani behema v'chaya nemer min ha-Torah. The simanim that make an animal and a chaya kosher, those things are all found in the Torah. Simani oif loy nemru, but the proper simon for a bird, that's not in the Torah. There's no pasuk anywhere in the Torah that tells you what is the proper simanim for a kosher bird. So how do you know what birds to eat? The answer is whatever the Torah didn't include in its list of prohibited birds are permitted birds. However, says the Mishnah, "Avol omr chachamim," but the Chum gave us a system. Kal oif hadoyres tame. Any bird that's a doyres. Now, doyres, they translate a predator. Any bird that's somewhat violent. We'll see that's at least three opinions in the Rishonim, maybe even four, how to define the word a doyres. But once the animal is viewed as a doyres, it's a predator, it's done. It's automatically an oif tame and you can't eat it. Says the Mishnah, what else is there? Then you have to have kol sheyeshlo etzba yisera, any bird that has an extra finger. This is also a three-way machloikis Rishonim, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. The zefek, and has a crop. The crop is in the stomach of the bird. It's there to hold the food until it's ready to be digested. The kukovne niklaf, and it has a membrane that can be peeled. The gizzard has a membrane that you can peel with your hand, as opposed to peeling it with a knife. Tahar. These are all the signs that make a bird tahar. So here the Mishnah tells us, what do you need to make a bird tahar? Simple. It's got to meet these simanim. Any bird that's not a predator, it has an extra finger somewhere, it's got a crop, it's got a gizzard, a peelable gizzard, that's a kosher bird, no problems. Now, once we have this Mishnah down, so this seems to be very simple. So if you want to know about a bird like the turkey, so you take it up, you cut it up, and you look. Does it have all these three things? So that would be the answer to deciding whether or not a bird is tahar. What exactly does it mean to be a doyres? What does it mean to be a predator? So Rashi learns, ha'oiches b'tziponov, it holds on with its feet, with its nails, u'magbiya menakaka ma'ashoich, it picks up the food and eats it from the ground. That's Rashi's opinion in a doyres. There are other opinions in the Rishonim what a doyres is. Some Rishonim learn that a doyres means that it steps on its food and holds it down while it eats. Another opinion in the Bishayim is that a doyres means it basically rips it up while it's still alive. Like, we know the word doyres is found in Baba Kamma. When the animal attacks, it's doyres, it tramples. That's what the word doyres means in Baba Kamma. So some Bishayim learn doyres means it tramples on the thing and it rips it to shreds before it's even killed. It, you know, eats it while it's still alive. That's another opinion in the Bishayim and what a doyres is. For tonight's conversation, a turkey doesn't meet any of those criteria as far as we know. It doesn't eat its prey like that. It doesn't step on its prey. If anything, you look at its beak, it has a very, very small beak. Can't do too much damage with its beak. So that's why it would not fit into the category of a doyres. What's an etzba yisera? Rashi says, zu etzba hagvoya shechore etzbois. If you look at the foot of a bird, so you'll find that on the back of its foot, like behind its other hand, there'll be a little finger there. That's Rashi's version of Etz B'Yaseir. It has an extra finger. It has the fingers on its hand, on its feet, and then it has a little finger in the back. Rashi calls an Etz B'Yaseir. This is also a very big machloikis Rishayim. There's two other opinions in the Rishayim. Some Rishayim learn that an Etz B'Yaseir means that its middle finger is longer than its other finger. This is the sheet of the Ra'ah. The Etz B'Yaseir doesn't mean an extra finger, it means a longer finger. That's the second sheet in the Rishayim. And the third opinion of the Rishayim is the Ramban, that the Etz B'Yaseir is like a finger, like somewhere up the leg of the chicken. Now, the turkey and the chicken has an Etz B'Yaseir according to two out of the three of those sheets, Rishayim. It has an, if you look at a chicken's middle finger, you'll notice it's longer than the other two fingers. And you can go home and look at all these pictures online, Baruch Hashem. I got to see a turkey and a chicken up close this past Shabbos. I was up in Camp Nagila, so they have a farm. So I spent the whole afternoon checking out the chickens and the turkeys and their legs, and my wife and the kids were wondering, what are you doing with the chickens and ducks? Why is it so interesting? I said, because now I can see this up close. So you can look at the chicken, you'll see the chicken has a longer middle finger. And if you look at the chicken's hand, you'll see there's a little finger up over here on the side. That's Etz B'Yaseir according to the Ra'ah, and Rashi's Etz B'Yaseir. So both the chicken and the turkey both meet that criteria, so we don't have to worry about that issue of being an Etz B'Yaseir. So, and it also has a crop, that's something you can easily Google and find out, and it also has a peelable gizzard. So it definitely meets all the halachic criteria as described by the Mishnah. Now, the problem is, there's a Gemara in Chul Naf Samachal, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? How could the Mishnah say that the Torah never gives us a Zimonim? Of course it does. The first example of birds in the Torah is the Nesher. The Nesher, according to most people, is what we call the eagle. That's also not so simple, but it's lightly translated as the eagle. And Gemara says, "Ma nesha miyuchad she'ein la etz b'yaseira." What's special about the eagle? It doesn't have an etz b'yaseira. The zefek, it doesn't have this crap. The ein korkavai niklaf, you can't peel its gizzard. The dairis, and it's a predator. We all agree that the nesha, the eagle, is dangerous. They say when even if you hold an eagle, you can't hold it on your regular arm. Its claws are so strong, you have to hold a special glove on your arm so they don't scratch or claw at you. So that's for sure out. So the Gemara makes a drasha. Any bird that's similar to the Nesher is Tameh, and any bird similar to the Tor. The Tor is the turtle dove. The turtle dove is the example of kosher animal. Right? The turtle dove has all the perfect things going for it. It has all the kosher simanim that makes a bird kosher. So the Gemara says, Nesher is the worst, it has zero simanim, and the Tor, the turtle dove, is perfect, it has all four simanim. So that's how we know these four simanim, because we looked to the Torah, we know the Tor, the turtle dove, is something used for a karbanis. We looked in the Torah, and the Torah's first example, one of the first examples is the Nesher. So we know what's special about the Nesher is zero simanim tahara. What's special about the Tor, the turtle dove, it has all four simanim. So if you take a look at a turtle dove, you'll see it has a middle finger that's longer, it has a finger on the side, it's got all the right things to make it kosher. So the Gemara says, we learn from here, that any bird that meets all criteria is tar, any bird that lacks all criteria would be tam. Now the Aruch HaShulchan over here, number 3, has a very big kasha on Rashi. Rashi learned that what's Etz B'Yaseir? Again, it's got to have an Etz B'Yaseir in order to become a Oif Tahar. What's Etz B'Yaseir? So Rashi learned that it has an extra finger behind it. Asks the Aruch HaShulchan, there's a problem with Abshat. He says, because the eagle has that also. The Nesher, if you look at the eagle, and the Gemara just told us the Nesher is the example of Behemoth Tmeya, and it has zero Simone Tahara, but according to Rashi's understanding of an Etz B'Yaseir, the Nesher has an Etz B'Yaseir. The Aruch HaShulchan asks Kasha, the Prima Gadim asks Kasha, if you take the bald eagle and you look at its foot, you would see it has a little finger over here on the back side, on the upper side of its hand, that's extra, it's not really doing anything. So we shouldn't say it's extra because it does nothing, this little finger, it doesn't even add anything to its walking abilities or to its eating abilities, it's really literally extra.
Why is that a Kasha? Because do we care if it has one of the simanim?
Yeah, because the Gemara said, Uman Nesher Miuchot She'en Lo Etz B'Yaseir. The Gemara says the Nesher is specific that it has none of the simanim. The Tor, the turtle dove, has all of the simanim. So if you're going to show me that Rashi understood the Gemara to mean this, and now I'm showing you the eagle has it, so now we have a problem. Now we have to be able to work this Gemara out. So Aruch HaShulchan suggests one of two things. First he says, well, maybe Rashi's wrong. Maybe we don't go with Rashi. Interestingly enough, if you look in the Noisei Keim on Shulchan Aruch, you look in the Shach and the Taz, they both bring down both these pshatim. When they talk about Etz B'Yaseir, they hold you need to have both things there. You have to have Rashi's Etz B'Yaseir, an extra finger here, and the Ran's Etz B'Yaseir where the finger's a little longer. Now again, our chickens that we eat, that's under Hashkacha, and our turkeys that we eat are all meet this criteria. They have both of these etzbiyaseiros. But the Aruch HaShulchan's kash is, according to Rashi, you should also say, what about the nesher? The nesher also has an etzbiyaseiros. So Aruch HaShulchan, right, so that's what he starts first saying. And then he ends up saying, what's Rashi going to do? Rashi obviously had to know these birds also, right? Rashi was a zoologist as well. Up to this day, I regret when I was in 10th grade in high school, we took zoology. And I thought to myself, when am I ever going to need zoology in the real world? Forget, you know, in the learning world, in the secular, when am I going to need zoology? So when I learned this sugya, I regret I didn't learn zoology well enough to figure out where exactly do you lump all the family in the bird family, in the sub-phylum, whatever they are. There's a lot there in the family of zoology, but the Rishonim knew this. Rashi knew how the eagle's hand looks. So the Aruch HaShulchan suggests... So the Aruch HaShulchan suggests, and this is something that's very popular amongst those who study this as more of a halacha, but they study it also in scientific, there might be two types of eagle. Everyone says the nesher is the bold eagle. That might not be so agreed. So Aruch HaShulchan suggests this possibility that maybe we have the wrong nesher, we have the wrong bird. What we think is the nesher and we call it, that might not be it. That's one suggestion he has. His other suggestion is it might depend on exactly where the finger is situated. If you look at number 3 in Aruch HaShulchan, he says, the bird that we call the nesher is not really the nesher. It's really a different bird. There's so many subdivisions of birds and families of birds, we could have got it wrong. It has to be, the extra finger has to be not only on the back of the hand, on the side, has to be higher up. It can't be on the same height as the regular fingers. So the nesher has an extra one, but it's basically the same height. Rashi says to be an etzbi, it has to be higher up. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands Rashi. So in any case, the Aruch HaShulchan says, well, Rashi's pshat is not rejected, it's still possible. Now the Torah Tamima points out over here, the son of the Aruch HaShulchan, was killed in the Holocaust, the Torah Tamima wrote of Pirush and Chumash, he points out something very interesting. He says, why is it so such a given that the chicken is not a doris? If you ever look at a chicken, it eats bugs, it eats things with its beak, it kills flies and bugs and things like that, it doesn't wait for it to die, it attacks it with its beak and kills it with its claws. Why doesn't that make it a dairis? And he writes over here, number 4, he says, "B'chol zois, masha oifos oichlim zavuvim mushkatzim v'ramasim k'tanim oidim chayim," the fact that chickens and birds eat flies and small insects while they're alive, "lo nechshav ledrisa," that does not make the chicken a predator animal. We find the same thing by chickens. It doesn't make it a dairis. So he addresses the issue. He says it's not a problem. He doesn't get into the why it's not a problem. But he says, don't try to tell me that the chicken is a predator animal because it kills little flies and bugs walking on the ground. That's not a chesh. So if we were to stop right here, it would seem like that once you can assume that the animal meets all the criteria according to various Rishonim, so you can check off the checklist, and now you can move on and the turkey becomes kosher. There's another Gemara. The Gemara says in Chulin number 5, Daf Samach Beis, Amar HaMeimar, Hilchasa. The halach is, the Gemara has a whole discussion, how many simonim do you need? Do you need all simonim? Do you need 2 out of 3, 2 out of 4? How many do you need? How many simanim does the bird need in order for it to be kosher? So the Gemara says a very cryptic statement. Hilchas of Allah is, Oif haba b'simen echa tahu. A bird that comes with one simon is tahar. That's all you need. It's got to show 1 of the 3, 1 of the 4. V'hu? Dilay daris. But it can't be a predator. How do we learn this line in the Gemara? This is also a very big three-way machloikish Rishonim. Rashi learns, Number 6, when you have one simon, all you need is one. Keep in mind, the chicken and the turkey has all of them. You just got to have one, Zagdrashi. When you have one, then right away, right away we assume it's a kosher bird. One simon, kosher bird. As long as we don't see that it tramples. Once it becomes a predator, then that's it, you're done.
But
as right, right. So he starts off saying that you be'etzim have enough of a hechacha with one, but you still always have this thing in the back of your mind that maybe it's a predator. There's a great piece from the Rogachev who talks about the famous hakira that everyone talks about, simanim on an animal. Is it a sibor or is it a simen? Is the fact that an animal chews its cud, is that a simen that it's kosher? Or that's why it's kosher? So the Rogachev in Satnas Paneach differentiates between behemoth and oifis. He says, by behemoth, it's the sibor. By birds, it can't be the sibor. It's just a simen, right? Because we're saying you need one, you don't need all of them. What do you mean? If the reason why it's kosher is because it has the 4 simonim, it needs to have all 4. The answer is that's not the siba to why it's kosher, it's a simen. It's in the right family if it has the simonim. A very interesting piece from the Rogachev in the Lomnus. So Rashi Shita is, if it has one simon, you're good to go, but you always have to worry about the fact that maybe it's a predator. The Rashba brings down a pshat from the Rambi. Rav Moshe ben Reb Yosef. This pshat is brought down by many, many, many Rishonim. And he basically learns the Gemara like this. That once a bird shows three simanim, we no longer have to be concerned that it may be a dairis. Because it has three simanim. Once it has the other three simanim, you don't have to worry anymore that it's a dairis.
We don't have to
suspect. If you look at the Lashon, he writes over here that the Shekola Oif Adatami Bechosh Yeshla Etzbi Yisera, number 7, the Zefek, the Kork Veniklef Tahar. Why? Kedetanya Bebraisa Beyodua Shehutar Kloimer, Shei Efshu La Oif Haba Begimis Simanim Eilu Begufa. It's impossible for a bird to show us these three simanim, Shehudairis, and it should be a dairis. This is the opinion of the Rambi of Moshe Ben Reb Yosef. He holds that once it has these three simanim, you don't even have to worry about it being a dairis, it's good to go. This opinion was brought down by many, many Rishonim, but not by the Shulchan Aruch. According to this opinion, we're good to go. Our turkey's got three simanim. We don't even have to worry about it being a dairis. We're safe. It's got three simanim. Turkey's kosher without any single problem.
It doesn't require the three simanim, right? If it has these three simanim, you don't have to worry about being a dairis.
Right, right.
You only need one of the simanim.
Maybe that's a shayla. But if it definitely has three simanim, so then you're good to go. He has a different gears in the Gemara. It gets a little bit more complicated. But what's for us in the turkey world, that once you have those three simanim, then you're safe. You make it through, you don't have to worry about anything. There's another interesting Gemara in Chulin, number 8, Samach Gilma Bebez. The Gemara tells us that Tanya of Meir Megolvi Yadul of Neim Yisho Eimer. Anyone knows Vayosha Beheima Tmeya Meruba Menat Tahiris. There are more non-kosher birds. There are more non-kosher animals than there are kosher animals. Lefichach, therefore, Mana Hakasa Vitahira. That's why the Torah told you which way to detect a kosher animal. Golvi Yadul of Neim Yisho Eimer Vayoilam Shaoifis Tahiri Meruba Al Tmeim. Interesting statistic that the Gemara is telling us. You should know, majority speaking, there are more kosher birds than non-kosher birds. That's why the Torah wrote the Tamei birds, because if the Torah had to list the Tahar birds, we'd still be reading Parsha Shmini. It would go on forever. So the Gemara says, a side note, we learn a very interesting lesson in education. Always teach your students the shorter version instead of the longer version. So Taisa over in Chulin has a great question. If Raiv Eifes a Tahar, so why don't we just go after the Raiv? We have a question today about the turkey. Well, what's the Shaila? Go after the Raif. Raif birds are Tahar. So if Raif birds are Tahar, go after the Raif. That's Taisus' Kasha and Chulin. Why can't that just be the simple answer based on this Gemara? So again, if you have nothing else, if all you have is the fact that there's a majority of birds, so you'd say Zobas or Raif, the bird right now are the majority of kosher birds, that should be good to go. Now Taisus has Terutz and why he thinks he can't do that, because he thinks there's so many subdivisions of the Tamei families, so you end up with a lot of birds. Okay, Taisus talks about this Kasha. Okay, so if we were to stop right here, we'd have absolutely no problem with turkey. It wouldn't even be a discussion. Turkey would be the same as chicken. Chicken is for sure kosher. Turkey is for sure kosher. No problem. We can move on. But there's one Gemara, according to some Rishonim, that makes things a little complicated. The Gemara says like this in number 9, another Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara tells us a story. Tani Gulasa de Agma. There was a certain chicken that was raised by the river. They didn't even have a good name for it. They called it the Tani Gulasa de Agma. It used to hang out by the Agam, by the swamps. Asira. Chazye did darso v'achla. There was this certain chicken that for a while they were all eating it. Everyone thought that this was a kosher bird, and all of a sudden one day, all of a sudden, the bird becomes a dairis. All of a sudden, this bird becomes a whole vicious attack mode bird. And the Chazal at that time said, "Ayvei, we made a mistake. We have to prohibit this bird. We read it wrong. V'hainu girusa. This is really a different type of bird, which is really halachically unaccepted." So they took back. They said, "Ayvei, we made a mistake." So what do we do with such a Gemara? So Rashi over here, number 10, says, Ra'u chachomim shederesis vaychalas. They saw that this bird, even though they watched it, they monitored it for, we don't know exactly how long, but they monitored it, they thought it wasn't a dairis, it had all the other three simanim, so they were eating it. It became a popular dish, and then they realized they were wrong. V'hani girusa damar l'kamam perkal basar, asal l'ngirusa. Shavu l'an lishu dekavra, the Gemara says later on that this type of bird is asar. So after Rashi, nearly. So Rashi, umitaych she'in anu b'kiyim behem. Now this is Rashi adding something to the Gemara. Says Rashi, because we never really know birds well enough, nearly the oif ha'bala fanenu, a bird that comes in front of us, a new bird, what we'll call a new bird, yeshloim Hashem yidres. We always have to suspect every bird is a potential dairis. Why? This bird of agma, they always thought was a kosher bird. Now Rashi doesn't tell you for how long they thought this, which we'll see in Gedolei Achreinim is the difference between this and the turkey. So Rashi l'achaz man rosha de reses vein oif necho lanu ella b'meseiris oif shemasu lanu aviseinu b'tar. Says Rashi, this is the magic word that everyone knows when they talk about turkey. You need to have a meseira. You can only eat a bird that you have a Messiah passed down from father to father, from Sheikhet to Sheikhet. And that's what we used to eat in the Altaheim. That's what his Zayde Shechtin, that's what his Zayde Shechtin. Says Rashi, any new bird that has all the Simanim going for it, but you can't trust it because maybe tomorrow it will turn into a Dairis based on the skimmer. That's the opinion of Rashi.
The Gemara speaks about this turning all this dogma. Does it mean that they noticed that all these birds were Dairis, or they found one meshuggah in a bird that was...
It's a good question. It's very hard to know. It could be that the chicken had a rough day and that's why he was acting out. It happens with kids all the time. Right? Obviously, they watched it and they noticed a change in the behavior.
In general,
it had to have been by these types of bird, or this bird. Or I don't know if this was a whole min or this was just one bird. It's hard to know, but they noticed a change. So Rashi says from this Gemara, again, the Gemara never says, so from now on you need a Messiah. The Gemara never said that. Rashi added that to the Gemara. I say to people, you want to know who to blame the whole issue. I don't mean to blame, but Rashi was the one who opened up this Pandora's box with Turkey. Because without this Rashi, we would have no problem with Turkey. Turkey has all the Saman and we have no problem. But since Rashi told us that every new bird has to have a Messiah, so then every new bird that was never existed in Klal Yisrael's communities before needs a Messiah. So now we're going to have an issue with Turkey, as we'll see in a few minutes. Now, what does Rashi mean that needs to have a Messiah? It means there has to be that you go to the old Shechtim and you ask them, "Nu, what did you Shecht?" And he says, "I remember what my Zayde Shecht. And I remember what my Zayde Shecht. I spoke today on the phone to the person who runs the OU's division of birds. Chaim Loiki gave me a lot of time today on the phone. He told me what the OU sometimes does is they go to the old Shechtim, 90-year-old Shechtim. The alter old Shecht, and they asked him, "Nu, did you used to Shecht a bird like this? Did you see your Rebbe Shechting a bird like this?" And that's the way they worked. That was the Messiah. If your Rebbe taught you this bird and you guys had it, that's good enough. He said, "That's how we have chickens today. Where's the Messiah on chicken? Who signed up on the first chicken?" The answer is we've been eating chickens for thousands of years. Europe that was filled with chickens, so everyone used to eat chicken. So there was a built-in Messiah on chicken. The problem came with the turkey. Turkey did not originate in Europe. The turkey originated, we'll see in a second that might be even a machlokes achronim, even though today historians have proven it, but we'll see anyways. But the turkey definitely didn't originate in Europe. It made its way to Europe in the 1700s, that's when it started to come to Europe, and it came rather quickly to Europe. And then Europe got all of a sudden this new bird. And all the paiskim at that time said, "What do we do with this new bird? We have to figure out what's the halachic status of this new bird." So the first place they turned to was this Rashi. You need a Messiah. There was no Messiah on the turkey. It was a new bird. It just came fresh off the boat. So according to Rashi, we can't eat the turkey. Without Rashi, we'd have no problem. Now, do we paskin like this Rashi? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in number 11, it seems to be very clear. The Shulchan Aruch writes that if you have a bird, that we'll skip just to the last two lines, says the Mechaber, the Av Pi Shiesh Gimel Simanim Elu. You have a bird that has all three Simanim. Ein la achloi. You still can't eat it, says the Shulchan Aruch. Because we're always suspectful that it might be a dairis. Elim came yeshla mesayrish shemasul amaviseyim shehu tar. Unless you have a mesayrah from their forefathers that it was tar. The turkey, no mesayrah. No one can vouch for the turkey. It came from the Americas. The Americas were...
What? Something's a dairis, and I just watch it.
Hey, but he says that's not good enough. The Mechaber goes like Rashi. That according to Rashi, we always have to suspect that one day it will turn.
So one.
Okay, good. So that's one of the terusim that they give. So the Arugas Habaisim has a tshuva where we're going to get to it, hopefully. The Arugas Habaisim wants to say that no, it depends. They didn't do their homework well enough in the Gemara story. When the Gemara was talking about this bird that turned into a dairy, it's because they didn't watch it long enough. But the turkey, we know about turkeys very... The Arugas Habaisim was talking in the 1800s. We already know about this bird for 200 years. It's not a dairis. You don't have to worry anymore. It's going to turn one day to be a dairis. The Gemara story was talking about a bird that didn't really research it well. They, whatever... It doesn't say a number, how long they looked at it for, but it was very short. But if you talk and research the bird for 200 years, or 150 years, or for now already we're 300 years, 400 years that we've been watching turkeys, we haven't yet seen the attack of the massive turkeys, right? We haven't yet seen it. Right, maybe one day. So then we don't have to worry about this Rashi. And even Rashi, he writes, that Rukas Abaisim writes in the Tshuva, that if Rashi was alive in the times of the turkeys, he'd sign off on turkeys also. That's what he says.
So if you went to your 100 later and nobody asked somebody...
That's a big problem.
And you had another bird, let's say.
So that would be a problem. That would be a real problem. There's another issue about bringing a Messiah from Makim to Makim. If you had a Messiah in one country, you bring it over to another country, there's a whole Machlokes Rishonim that even works. It's complicated how exactly to establish a Messiah. There's a whole discussion about establishing a Messiah through oral discussion. We talk about a bird. There's a difference between talking about a bird and seeing a bird. Today we have pictures. Back then it wasn't so simple. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has tshuvas about these types of things, how exactly they pass on a Messiah. But the assumption would be something like the turkey. There was no Messiah on the turkey. Who started the turkey?
The winner said earlier that if it has those Simanim, By definition, it's not Darish.
That's right. But if you learn the Gemara like those Rishonim. Right, if you learn the Gemara like that Rambi, that Rav Moshe ben Yosef, you're right. Which we'll see also works its way into some of the kulas of why we'll make. Now there's another interesting Mechab in Shulchan Aruch, based on a Baal Amor. The Baal Amor comes up with his own idea of how to know it's not a Darius. And he's talking about over here the duck and geese. That's another bird, duck. Where was the Mesaver on duck? Everyone eats duck. It's pretty expensive, more expensive than the turkey. But everyone eats duck, right? Where's the Mesaver on duck? How do we know duck is kosher? So Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh ayimim shekal oif shechartumei rochav. Its beak is wide. The kafragle rechava kishal oiz. And oiz translates into a goose, into geese, duck. B'yoduash ain't a dairus. You know it's not a dairus. It's impossible. Its body doesn't allow for it to do such activity, says the Shulchan Aruch. Or mota b'achio. Then you're allowed to eat it. Yesh shloshe seman megufoy. If it has those three seman. So the duck and the geese are for sure mota according to the mechab. Problem is, says the Ramah. V'yesh oimim she'in this mechafilu al zeh. Even this you can't use. V'ein la oichel shum oif ella b'misoyres shekiblu b'ashu tah. Says the Ramah to the mechab. I won't even eat duck. Duck, we know for sure can't be a predator. It's impossible. Says the Ramah, no, not good enough for me. I'm even more machmir. I hold we have, the way it works with birds, is we need to have a mesayra. Without a mesayra, we can't eat it. So therefore, according to Rashi, even if you know for sure it's not a dairis, let's say you studied it, you watched it, you know it's not a dairis, still Rashi would tell you it's no different than the duck and the geese. They used to need a mesayra for it. So according to that, we're still going to be stuck a little bit. So when people say the Ramah is the reason why we don't eat turkey, it's not really the Ramah, it's a Mechab and Shulchan Aruch. Well, just what the Ramah does, it makes it even worse. The Ramah says, even if you can verify that the turkey is perfect, you still can't eat it. Because every bird that you eat needs a Messiah. That's what the Ramah seems to be telling us.
Is Sora is defined as how many generations? We have such definition?
No, I don't know if you need someone. You just need to have that. It goes back to someone continuously to some point where everyone used to do it. You know, if you can trust people and they said, yeah, Taka, I remember, you know, you go to the Sheikh and the Sheikh says, yeah, I remember, I watched my Rebbe, the Sheikh, Sheikh, this type of bird. Okay, that's good enough. Assuming everyone's, you know, reliable. We'll talk about a case in New Orleans in the late 1800s where they were being Semech al Masayr, people that weren't in Shemesh Shabbos. So obviously that's not going to count for too much. But other than that, if assuming everyone is, you know, a good Sheikh, we can be Semech on all these Masayrs. Now, throughout the years in Europe, there were all these new types of birds that started to come through to Europe, and every bird started to create a shiloh. Well, this bird is a little bigger than the chicken we used to be eating for the last 50 years. Its neck is bigger, it's wider, its flaps are bigger, its voice sounds different, interestingly enough. The sound of the voice is a raya, it might be a different bird. The turkey and the chicken don't sound the same. For a side note, they don't sound the same. Their chirps are different. They're different. So that was always a question amongst the Paiskim. What do we do with all these new types of birds? Now, where it gets a little tricky is that in the Gedolei Achrayim of the 1800s, 1900s, they all talk about these birds, and it's not clear what bird they're referring to. There's two different lingos they use. They talk about an English henna. They talk about other types of birds. It could be one of two birds. It can either be the turkey, or it could be what's called the Cochin chicken. So it's very hard to know what bird these achrenim were referring to when they wrote various tshuvas talking about it. The Hebrew word in the tshuvas for turkey is basar intik, or basar hoidu. That's clear turkey. But when they don't use those terminology, we're a little confused of are they referring to the Cochin chicken, or are they referring to the turkey. So for example, if you look at number 13, a tshuva from Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger wrote a tshuva in Tuv Tam Vadas. He writes, L'kach, hineni la'idia sha'oifes achadoshim abayim me'America, these new birds that come from America, heima asurim. They're usher. Ubeit seyem, and their eggs were told the same, and their offshoots kietzibem. Vizaru mehem, you have to be careful. Kinizim and veil sutrefis. So it's not clear what type of bird was he talking to. What was he, did he refer to the turkey, or was he referring to maybe the Cochin chicken? It's not clear from the tshuvas what exactly they were referring to at this time. Many tshuvas were written in the 1800s about an interesting type of a duck. There was a big shiloh and a big discussion about the Muscovy duck. Muscovy duck was a duck that looks different than regular duck. It has a different appearance to it. It's bigger. It's a little bit more wilder also. It's a more of a, not a dervish, but it's a little bit more of a wilder duck. So there was a big discussion amongst the Paiskim at that time. What's the halachic status of the Muscovy duck? There was a Rav who lived in New Orleans in the late 1800s. He was a Rav in New Orleans. He was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. He got Smicha in Pressburg. He was a very, very educated person. He had PhDs, and he couldn't even get a shtelah. Imagine, he had all these top degrees, he couldn't get a job. He had to go all the way to America to get a job. So he came to a bunch of different communities in America, and one of the communities he was in was in New Orleans. So he was in New Orleans, and he was watching the sheikh one day shechting this Muscovy duck. And he went over to the sheikh and said, what are you doing? This is not kosher, you can't eat. Where's the Messiah? We didn't eat this in Europe, but this wasn't a kosher bird.
Why, so this, Europe, why Why is Europe?
Because that's where the bulk of the of religious Jews were at that time.
But as long as there's Jews somewhere for many, many years, they should be there having their own.
In theory. But the question is, how far back are we going to take them? That was part of his question. So his question was, is there a Messiah here in America? So he did some research. So he went over to the Sheikh in town. Okay, we're talking about New Orleans in about the 1850s, 1860s. Yeah, we're talking about, we're going back a while over here. So this Rav, so he did his research, his name was Rabbi Illui. He was a goyin, Pesach Illui. He was a big Talmud Chacham, but he came to America and he made a lot of fights in America. He changed a lot of the issues with intermarriage and kashrus. He made did a lot of good things in New Orleans. He was in Cincinnati. He was around a bunch of cities in America. So he went over to the Sheikh and said, "No, where's your Messiah?" She said, "I got the Messiah from the previous Chazan." So I got the Messiah from. So he went to the previous Chazan and he spoke to the previous Chazan. He found out the previous Chazan used to keep his store open on Shabbos. He only changed it because he got a better job, so he started to keep Shabbos. So Rabbi Elul said, "This is a joke. I can't be Samech on this." So he made a degree. You can't eat any of these Muscovy ducks. We're putting it all on hold. He sent all the shalos to Europe. He sent shalos to Psham Shafal Hirsch. He sent to Tzipes. He sent to everyone. He sent across the world. Shalos were sent about this. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik got a shalos about this. A lot of different Gedolei Acharim got their shalos. So they told me today in the OU was there was a Kol Kairi written in the 1870s in New York that Muscovy duck is awesome. So the OU's policy is they do not give hashkacha to it, because they say, how can we give hashkacha to this in New York if there was a kolkeret dating back to the 1870s that Muscovy duck is not kosher? Now there are plenty of very chashuv achrenim that sign off that it's kosher. The Devi Chaim, the Sanzi Rebbe, sent two of his chassidim to Eretz Yisrael to see if this is the same bird that they have in Eretz Yisrael. And they came back and they said, yeah, it looks like the same bird. So many kedayel achrenim signed off on it. But Adi Yom is that today, many European kashrus organizations give hashkacha to it. In Eretz Yisrael, you can get it. In America, the OU won't give it. Because since in 1870, I think he told me 1873, they found a kol kairi written by Rabbonim in New York to say that Muscovy duck is no good, so that's why it's not eaten today. The OU doesn't give hashkacha to it today.
They swore to something because they didn't feel they had the Messiah.
Because they felt there was no Messiah on it. They felt there was no Messiah on it. There's other tests also. One of the big tests to know if an animal is tar is if you have an animal that's tar and it mates with another animal and they produce viable eggs, that's a ride, that's a tar animal. The Muscovy duck, put together with a regular duck, creates sterile eggs. So that was like a little bit of we're a little bit nervous now, because if it would really be a duck, it would be able to produce healthy eggs. Now, if you take a chicken and a turkey and you breed them together, you're not getting good eggs either. But that's not a ride that it can't be kosher. That's just not a sibah to make it kosher. It's not a ride that it's not kosher. But just keep that in mind when you go through the sugi over here. But in any case, so Muscovy duck was rejected from the paiske. But in the tshuvas that they wrote, they alluded to our turkey, which is important for us. For example, if you look at number 14, the Darkei Tshuva. The Darkei Tshuva we're talking about, Darkei Tshuva was the father of the Munkach Rebbe. He was from the Munkach Hasidus. We're talking about the mid-1800s. Says the Munkach Rebbe, number 14, Ein benachal eshkel hilcha simani behema, sheherich badover hatani goyos shekarin indi shehiner. The English Shehinah, that's the turkey. Sheba ze gimel meyo shanim Eretz Haidu. It came 300 years ago from Eretz Haidu. Okay, it was written in the 1800s, so 300, okay. Le England. Umisham la Ashkenaz. Vanu oichlam ayse b'chol makim. It's eaten everywhere. Believe pickbook, without any questions. It's very different than our chickens. Not only its sight, it's double the size of our chickens. The head size is different. And he wants to know, why does everyone eat it? Why is everyone eating it? Says the Darkei Tshuva, I know everyone eats it. But you can't tell me it's a chicken. It's clearly different than the chicken. Why does everyone eat it? So there are basically five heterim to why the turkey became kosher, despite the fact that Shulchan Aruch says you need a Messiah, and we have no Messiah on the turkey. One of them comes from the Netziv in Meshev Dover. The Netziv, in this tshuva, was talking about the Muscovy duck, and he was one of the earliest Achrenim to sign off on it. And he said the very, very interesting lomdus. He says, Puk Chazi. If for some reason all of Klai Yisrael is eating it, that's a Messiah. Sounds a little funny, right? That's the Messiah. The fact that all of Klai Yisrael, for some reason, has been eating it, that's the greatest raya that it's a kosher bird. So he says that about the Muscovy duck, and he says that about turkey. If you look in the middle, he says over here, he says, Acher shekvar, number 15, this is from the Netziv Meshev Dover, Acher shekvar nogu la'ochlam u'mestamagam oz hayi apir ros chacham. Who's the first person to eat turkey? The first guy who touched the turkey, he must have got a psak from his rabbi. So that's the Messiah. It's a built-in Messiah. I guess the Netziv didn't think anyone was troublemakers over here. He didn't think anyone was playing around in the kashrut business to make a few dollars, right? He thought everyone's Lashma. Everyone's eating turkey. Must have been he asked his rab. Says the Netziv, we don't even see laz and say that Gantz Klaius was eating the meat that's not kosher. Yeah, you know why? Agma didn't even research that bird. They assumed, oh, it's a chicken. He says, definitely when it comes to the duck and the geese, the teda says that, listen to the tziv, I'll prove to you that Muscovy duck is mutter because of the turkey. The turkey that we all eat. Many people were against it. India, when it came from India. He also thinks it came from India. There's no Messiah on the Jews of India. Today there are good Jews who won't even eat turkey. Don't even open a mouth. Don't start making shurim about why is turkey kosher. It's for sure good. Once it became established that it's mutter, it becomes mutter. So the Netziv is very much after the fact. Pshat. He's after we started eating it, it becomes kosher. But again, if we would have been asked in the beginning, should we start eating, he would tell you probably not. So this is the Netziv's heter for why we eat turkey. The Daki Tshuva brings down another heter from the Sholomation.
His heter is we eat turkey because we eat turkey.
Yeah, exactly, that's basically what it is. It's don't ask questions because that's what everyone does. And don't try to be a troublemaker and trafe up Klai Yisrael. The next heter comes from the Sholomation. The Sholomation was a Choshev Yid, and also in the 1800s, a wealthy Yid also, Nebuchadnezzar children. The Sholomation was very famous for his psak about machine matzah. Yosef Shaul Nezison, he was known for his psak. He gave one of the first kulas on machine matzahs when it came out in the mid-1800s. So he says a different psak. He says, you see from Klai Yisrael that we don't follow this halacha. We don't go with those Rishonim. We don't hold you need a Messiah. We hold as long as it has the Simonim, you're good to go. We pass like the other Rishonim. Aye, to clear Mechabim Shulchan Aruch with the Ramah. This is a raya that this halacha wasn't Neskaba. As long as we found that the bird has the three Simonim, we're good to go. That was the heter from the Shalomesh. Again, also seems to be a very, very difficult heter. Yeah, if we would be able to start a trend with these birds that we felt were close enough, then we would be. The famous heter that everyone quotes is from number 16, is the Mei Be'er. The Mei Be'er gives a heter which is very nice, except for the fact that historically speaking, is probably not true. What does he write? He says, "Kvayadua ba'oif indik shu Messiah brewer me'ansha India." We have a Messiah on Turkey from the Jews of India. The Jews of India ate turkey. Turkey came from India. Now we all know turkey didn't come from India. You see this in a lot of the Achranim. They thought the turkey came from India. The turkey didn't come from India. Turkey came from what we call America. Didn't come from India. But the Mebe'er Taina is that where's the Messiah? The Messiah is from the Jews in India. The Jews in India ate turkey, and look what he writes. He says, we have a Kabbalah out up to Moshe Rabbeinu. Unbelievable. Kabbalah ad Moshe Rabbeinu shu'u aiftar. We have a Kabbalah dating back from the Jews of India up to Moshe Rabbeinu that the turkey is an aiftar. India. But Zeshayla, can you trust the Jews of India? Who knows who they are? Are they Jewish? Are they not Jewish? Are they reliable? Or was there Chachmi Adar at Shomer HaRivosh? The Rivosh, one of the Rishonim, who said, you can rely on those that are lenient. There are good God-fearing Jews living in India in the 1400s-1500s. And all the Jews of India were very careful in what they ate. The Rakhet Shuva says, he says, what are you talking about? He says, where's this Rivash? Where are the Jews of India? What's going on over here? It's a Pella. But this is one of the Hetayim. The Hetayim are based on the fact that we have a Messiah from the Jews of India. There's a shtickle problem with that because there's a Machlo. Yeah, it says that the Jews of India had this Messiah from Moshe Rabbeinu. The problem is that the Machloikis were showing him, can you take a Messiah from one country to another country? If you have no Messiah in your country, but it's all based on what they did back then, it's Machloikis were showing him. The Rajbah holds he can't do it. The Paiskim say, we don't hold like that. We'll take a Messiah from another country. So if you're willing to accept the fact that there were Jews in India in the 13, 14, 1500s eating turkey, and they were God-fearing Jews, so they're good. Now we can eat turkey today based on their Messiah. That's the heter from the Mei Be'er.
What's the reason why we don't eat turkey?
Because we don't trust what they were doing.
Because it's not true.
Right.
So we're saying we assumed at some point in history...
This is a very controversial answer because it would seem to just not agree with what we know to be history. So what are some of the other heterim? So
there's... Historically saying that turkey is an American...
They don't believe it came from India. I don't think there's a historical...
Saying it came from America before...
Yeah, I don't know where... It could be it did. Maybe it started from India to America. From America to... It could be.
We don't know where it
Right? Right? But this is the assumption he makes, this Meiber. Meiber was, I tried finding more research about him. I have his name written. He was, again, a contemporary of the 1800s. The truth is the Kaf HaChaim. Kaf HaChaim, we know the Kaf HaChaim, we use him a lot. He writes the same Lamedas. He writes that there was Jews in India, and the Jews of India had a Masari Ad Mesh Rabbein. He quotes the same Teretz. Two other Teretzim that we need to get to very quickly is Arugas HaBoisim. Arugas HaBoisim writes what we said earlier. He said, when does Rashi worry about a Masaira? That's a bird that you don't really know well enough. But he says, if you watch a bird for 12 months, he brings it right from Nayach. Nayach knew when he came out of the table which animals were Tahar and Tameh. Why? Because when he came out, he watched those animals for 12 months. He knew what's a Darius and what's not a Darius. So the Arugas HaBoisim says, if you watch a bird for 12 months, you can rule out it being a Darius. He says, the turkey we watched way beyond 12 months. Turkey is not a problem. Turkey is not a Darius. You don't have to worry about it. That's the head of the Arugas HaBoisim. The Darki Tshuva writes over here, number 18, it's a great read if you have the time. He basically says that turkey is accepted in all of Klal Yisrael. He says he found one family in Russia who doesn't eat turkey. And they're so machmir not to eat turkey that before they make shidduchim with their kids, they say to the other side, we'll only be mishadach with you. Amanas, you will not eat turkey or give it to our grandkids. That's how machmir they are. But the Daki Tshuva says he found one family in Russia. That's all he found. I'll find you a couple in America in a few minutes. But he found one in Russia that wouldn't eat turkey. He said, but besides that, everyone eats turkey. Don't ask me kasha, don't make trouble. Everyone eats turkey. Now again, some of the hatayim we said were a little bit on the weak side. They're a little bit watered down. I found one interesting heter which I was trying to push the OU to agree to me, and they wouldn't agree to me. It's based on a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi writes in Brachas, right over here, if you look above number 19, the Yushalmi talks about davening near the tzaya, near the when the chicken goes to the bathroom, excrement, you're not allowed to say Krishma because it gives off a foul odor. So the Yushalmi says that there's something called a tarnagol adumim, a red tarnagol, that its excrement has a stronger smell, and you're not allowed to say Krishma around it. What's a tanagolus adumim? So there's two pshatim. One pshat is that the chicken itself is red, and one pshat is that what it secretes is red. The Magen Avraham writes in number 20, what's an aduma? Milushayne mashma vatsalayma hatsaya aduma kemashikasev tamir ben yena vaharajma pirish shahatanagolum adumim. It's vachoykit ushayim. The Rajma says the chicken itself is red. Humashikari English shahin. It's the English shahin. Now, if you think the English shahin is the turkey, so then in the times of the Yushalmi, they had turkey. They had turkey in the times of the Yerushalmi. So they had turkey in the Yerushalmi, that means turkey goes back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's where the Masari comes from. It comes from the Jews of Israel, back from the times of the Yerushalmi. Now you'll tell me, maybe they didn't eat the turkey. But again, they didn't just grow animals for fun. If you couldn't eat the turkey, and you couldn't eat its eggs, they wouldn't just keep it around their house. So if you see the Yerushalmi talks about a chicken, that's a tanagol adumim, a red chicken, and it's called the English ahinner, and you assume that means a turkey, so that means they had a turkey in the times of the Yerushalmi. It's even more mefurish than the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, number 21, Shatanagayim Aduma Humashikari English Ahin, Indic. It's the turkey. Now, you have to know who put in the brackets in the Mishnah Berurah. Assuming the Mishnah Berurah wrote the brackets in the Mishnah Berurah, so he's telling us it's the turkey. So that means they had the turkey in the times of the Yerushalmi. So I tied this to the Oyuta, and they told me it can't be. So there's no way they had the turkey back at the times of the Yerushalmi. He says it can't be. There's no historical proof for it. It's impossible. But again, that's the way it says. It says over here that they had this chicken that was red. A red chicken, according to the Magen Avraham, according to the Rashi, was the turkey. So they had the turkey. So there's a Masara in the turkey dating back to the times of the Yerushalmi. So in a nutshell, as the Darki Tshuva says, almost everyone eats turkey except for a few people. Who are some of the people that don't eat turkey? The Shla Kaddish. The Shla's family had a Masara that the Shla would not eat turkey. Why not? Because the Shla was Choshish, it's a Dairis. Now what's interesting about this is the Shla died in the early 1630. When the Shla died, he died in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not really sure when he came across the turkeys. They didn't really get that popular in Europe in the early 1600s. But the Shla wrote a very clear rule in his family, you're not allowed to eat chickens. You're not allowed to eat turkey. It goes so far that they found generations later, I'm talking about like in the 1980s, they found Einikloch of the Shla, that are not Shema Teru Mitzvahs at all. They'll eat pork on Yom Kippur, but they won't eat turkey. Because Kach Tziva HaZeda, the Zeda said no turkey, they wouldn't eat turkey. That's one very famous family that doesn't eat turkey, the Shla Kaddish's family. And there's another very famous person, Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yaakov Kamenetsky supposedly didn't eat turkey. Why? Here's the kicker. Yaakov Kamenetsky didn't eat turkey because of his wife. Not because Yaakov held, not like that. Yaakov's wife came from a town in Europe that didn't eat turkey, and Yaakov adapted his wife's menhagim, and therefore Yaakov didn't eat turkey. They quote over here, again, we don't have time to read it, that they asked Shmuel Kamenetsky about it. Shmuel Kamenetsky said he himself is machmir, but not as a family minhag. it's not a family minhag for him, because he felt that Rabbi Yaakov only did it because it was just, again, if the wife is the one making the chickens and she's the one who doesn't eat it, so you're not going to get turkey. Simple as that. But in any case, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, out of his wife's minhag, was noig not to eat turkey. And Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky, and supposedly many of the Kamenetskys today, don't eat turkey the same way because of the Kabbalah that Rabbi Yaakov gave. But keep in mind, it was Rabbi Yaakov from his wife. It wasn't Rabbi Yaakov himself, it was Yaakov from his wife. If you look in other G'day L'Achrin, for example, the Stipler used to eat turkey. The Stipler in his home ate turkey. So clearly, many, many G'day L'Achrin ate turkey. Very quickly, we know that Rav Moshe Feinstein has various tshuvas where he talks about Thanksgiving and the concept of party or no party. And in one of the tshuvas, in number 26, Rav Moshe writes, I don't find any isser in making a Thanksgiving dinner. And I also find no problem with eating turkey. So clearly, Rav Moshe was of the opinion there's no problem on the Seir of turkey. Similar thing you'll find in number 25 in Nefesh Rav, Rav Salvechik, Rav Shechter calls Rav Salvechik that Rav Salvechik held you're allowed to have the party on Thanksgiving. And he says, we derive from the words of Rav Salvechik that not only the Thanksgiving dinner is not a problem, likewise the eating of the turkey is not a problem. So clearly the accepted opinion amongst contemporary Paiskim, again, and even going back to the 1800s, was that most of the Acharedim accepted the turkey, except for very few people who didn't. I saw in two places, and I heard supposedly that Rav Hershel Shechter himself doesn't eat turkey because he's machmir. That's what I heard. I can't verify it. But clearly he's quoting over here B'Shem of Salvation that he had no problem with the Messiah on turkey. He held turkey is okay. And it's like the Daki Chuba said, except for one family in Russia, everyone throughout Europe ate turkey, and that's clearly the accepted custom today in America. You will see everyone eating turkey. Rav Moshe Weiss, dying in Eretz Yisrael, has an interesting thing. He talks about the Zubu meat. Zibu meat. Z-E-B-U meat. It comes from an animal that looks very similar to a cow, but it has a big hump on its back. And it was always a big tumult on the Achrenim if it's kosher or not. So the Chazanish held it's not kosher, because the Chazanish says on behemoth, you also need a Messiah. It's a controversial statement, because it seems to be not like that in other Paiskim. So Rabbi Moshe Weiss makes the comment, he says, for all those people that eat turkey, and saying that turkey is like a chicken, so you should also eat the Zubu meat. Zubu looks exactly the same thing as a regular cow. So he thinks all those people that eat turkey and chicken should also eat the Zubu meat. But halacha l'maisa, turkey and chicken is eaten in all communities. Yeah.